Well, I trust you're having a lovely time thus far. It's always great to gather around this time of year and remind ourselves of the one who made this all possible, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our message will be coming from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and I'll be reading from verses 8 through 20. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around him, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in their heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as had been told them. How we approach Scripture will determine how much we gain from it. If you don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that it is His Word that was given to us by the Holy Spirit, through the prophets and through the apostles and all the rest, then you won't receive very much from it. It'll be just another book. It'll be just stale words to you. You receive little, if anything at all. And perhaps maybe you in this audience, you are a casual reader, like a grazer, like my cat. I give food to him in the morning and he grazes on it all day. He just goes back casually. And maybe you're just a casual reader of Scripture. And of course, the depth that you would get from that wouldn't be so deep, because you're just, after all, passing through. You're just paying a little bit of attention to it. However, if you believe that the Bible is God's Word and that we are more than casual readers, we will reap rich rewards. You will get much from it. You will gain much profit from being a believer and a staunch reader of the Word. Now, there's one more caveat that I'd like to bring to the table to maximize our experience in the Word. I contend that we must identify with the people. We must see ourselves in the characters. We must dive in to the narrative. We must dive in and see them as us and us as them. We can't divorce ourselves from them or hold them at arm's length. Because in a lot of ways, when you read through Scripture, you're seeing yourself. You are seeing who you are and what you do and all of those things. So in order to get the maximum from Scripture, you can't hold it at arm's length. You got to take it and hold it close and identify to people that you read about. And such is the case in this account, the shepherds. There are many parallels that we can draw with the shepherds, but I will focus on four because I know we all want to get home to our families and the rest. First, like the shepherds, we are outside the camp. But what do I mean by that? If you were to read Scripture, Scripture usually holds shepherds in a pretty good light. David was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. Jesus regarded himself as the good shepherd. But if you were to live in that society, if you were to be part of Bethlehem at that night, you would find yourself outside the camp, an outcast. Society looked down on them, as they do with the homeless today. They're just invisible people. You just walk by them. Shepherds could not keep the ceremonial laws. The rabbis considered them to be religious outcasts, and their testimony wasn't even allowed into courts. This was because they lived with the sheep and could not keep with all the rules and regulations of the rabbis. Now, the Lord gave us 10 commandments. They made 612 of them. No wonder they couldn't keep. They moved often. People didn't trust them. They weren't even allowed to testify in court. And due to their occupation, they had not gone to their own town to even take part of the census that was then taking on. These are not the type of people that you would nominate or even to expect an angelic host, a group of angels gathering around him shouting, "Praise God, hallelujah," giving him the gospel. Those were not your candidates. They were not the ones that you would first invite. They were people looked down upon, not respected, and not trusted. So you're asking yourself, well, what parallel did this have with me? Well, let me remind us, for those of you who are Christians, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, or thieves, or nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. As such for some of you, as I was outside the camp. I could identify with these folks. I and them. I would not welcome into their camp. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standard. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth." I think we're seeing ourselves here just a little bit. "But God shows what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. I stand before you. God shows what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God shows what is low and despised in the world, not even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." We can identify with this. We were not anything wise before we were saved. We came into the camp only through the good graces of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should identify with them tonight, seeing ourselves as they are. And those who know saving grace remember what their status was. And like the shepherds, they were outside the camp. Secondly, like the shepherds, we need a revelation of God's grace. If you're there in chapter 2, it says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" There's a couple of things going on here. First, The revelation was personal. The angel specifically said to the shepherds, "Unto you a Savior is born." It was revealed to them by an angel. We are Christians, those who are Christians tonight, you are a Christian because it was revealed to you. You were not born into it. You didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I guess I'm a Christian today. God is a personal God. You can see that the appearance wasn't at a distance, but up front and personal. God deals with us personally when it comes to our salvation. And we can see this right from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned. Who was it that came to them in a very personal way? Who was it that brought them the first gospel message? Was it not the Lord himself? Was it not he who said, though this may be the darkest day, there will come a time when the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. He was there personally revealing this salvation. The Apostle John writes these words, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. His name shall be called Emmanuel. That is God with us. We need a personal encounter with God, just like the shepherds did. We cannot get into the kingdom of God on the back of others. It has to be revealed to us. Secondly, it was supernatural revelation. You see, salvation at its core is a supernatural act. It can't happen without an act of God. You must be born again. How do we get born again? By the Spirit of God. It has to happen by His hand. It's a revelation, but it's also a supernatural revelation. It's a supernatural work. And this is what happened to the shepherds that night. We need to keep the supernatural in our Christianity. We need to see our salvation as a supernatural act by the Lord. We cannot see the kingdom of God unless we're born again, that our eyes are open. The Apostle Paul thought he was doing great things as he was on his way to Damascus. And he was knocked off his high horse on the way there. And it was only through that he saw the kingdom of God. The shepherds would be none the wiser if the Lord had not sent an angel to proclaim the gospel. I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 that says, are there not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who may inherit the kingdom? John Owen says, they are at work to bring us. You see, even the shepherds at that point were not in. It took an act of God. And it's amazing how many channels that God will use. He'll use angels. He'll use the gospel. He'll use you. He'll use me. He uses many things for His glory. If you're a Christian, remember, it was through revelation, not by being smart enough or rich enough. You can never have the highest score on the SATs and figure it out. You can never have all the money of all the richest men in the world and think that you can buy salvation. It is a supernatural act. Just like the shepherds, we need that supernatural act. Like Lydia, we had to have our hearts open to see the Lord. Thirdly, like the shepherds, we must act on what we hear. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened which the Lord told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now, the shepherds had a choice. The shepherds could have heard the angel's proclamation and said, isn't that interesting? What do you suppose that all meant? Just like you have a decision to make, a choice to make this evening of what you hear. Are you hearing, oh, that is nice, or is it something you need? And they could have had a stimulating theological discussion around a fire that night. They could have sent a delegation to the rabbis in Jerusalem to get their interpretation of things. Or they could have said, we've always believed these things. After all, we're Jews. Are you saying, I believe these things after all? I was brought up in a Christian home. We need a personal encounter with God. Every good Jew believes that the Savior will come from the city of David. Thanks for telling us. Have a great day. Hope nothing interrupts your ascent back into heaven. They had a choice to make. We have a choice tonight. We can either ignore the message or we can act upon it. Those who heard the message on the day of Pentecost cried out, what must I do to be saved? Salvation is not just a mere intellectual assent. It's an action. It's a verb. It's an act of the will. Act on what you heard. It's a commitment you live. And fourthly, like the shepherds, we must pass the message along. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. There are no silent witnesses for Christ. If you're a Christian, like a lava in a volcano that's active, you got to come out. It has to flow. What's ever in there has to burst out. It must find its way out. There's an expectation of go and tell once you have seen and believed. Matthew 28 records the last word of Christ to the apostles as saying, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel. But wouldn't you agree with me that those who are believers, they really can't be quiet? Somewhere, somehow, it's got to come out. But I want you to look at the text once again to see an important part that we sometimes miss. The text says that they returned. Returned where? Where did they go after they saw the baby? Where did they return to? Where did they walk back to? What did they do? They went back to their flocks, to their everyday living. They didn't go on a book tour of how I saw an angel and saw Jesus all in one night. They didn't have a fan club. They didn't develop anything like that. They returned to the fields. Steve Cole makes an observation. He says that we American Christians often buy into a version of Christianity that is not much like simple Christianity of the Bible. We seem to have a need for the spectacular and big. People flock to miracle services. They listen to some guy's supposed trip to heaven, and they idolize famous people who happen to be Christians. They feed on the latest seminars and popular cultural fads. But you know what? Maybe we ought to just get back to the simplicity of things. Go back to our everyday living. Go back to the people that we know. Identify just with the shepherds. They went back and they told the other shepherds. And the other shepherds told the other shepherds. And it went on and on just like that. We can identify with them because, let's face it, we're not going to be on the New York Times tomorrow. We're not going to be invited to Barbara Walters' most influential people. We're going to affect those who are around us. And so it happens in everyday people, everyday people's lives. We can identify with that. We can identify with the shepherds, that they're just like us, living ordinary lives, doing ordinary things for a spectacular God, for an awesome God, the one who reveals himself, the one who takes the time to be personal with us, God with us. That's what we talk about this evening. Maybe we need to see that God is the God of the normal. Appeared to shepherds just like he would appear to you and I. God calls for us to live in the real world as his people, glorifying and praising him for his gift of a Savior. It's not always spectacular, but we get it done. Because we had a personal encounter with him. We had a personal revelation from him and of him. And so, what do? What am I doing this evening? Simply telling you of my encounter of God. Just an ordinary guy doing ordinary things because he woke me up. He made me see a drunk, someone whom you wouldn't want in this place 30 years ago. Somebody that you probably would walk by and look through me. But because of his great work in me, I'm going to pass it on. I'm going to tell you. Because just like the lava in the volcano, I got to let it out. So what does this mean moving forward as we close? What are we going to take from this miraculous night? Well, remind us where we started. Do you believe the Bible to be the Word of God? Do you believe we need a Savior? Do we believe God is willing to save us? Do we believe His truth must be spread? What you believe will determine whether or not you think this is a nice story for kids or it's the truth that will save your life. I pray that we'll all be like the shepherds and say, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see for ourselves." I pray that you will see for yourselves this evening the Christ, the God with us, the one who is willing to be personally intimate with you, just as he was with the shepherds. And I also hope that we will be those that will say, "Let's tell all we know of him to all who are here." Shepherds. Not King Herod. Not any other king, but shepherds. That's who he appeared to. We can identify with that this evening. Okay. Now we get to play with fire. Father, tonight, may we leave this place knowing that Christ was born as a babe, but he was the Lord at birth. He came to save. He came to save us personally. He came to give us hope in a hopeless world, to give us grace in a graceless world. May we leave this evening knowing that we encountered Christ the Lord, who is the living, risen Savior, and that as the song was sung earlier this evening, that what a more glorious song will be sung when the second advent comes. And so bless us as we go our way. Bless our time with our families. And may we remember that the true reason why we have this season is because Christ was born. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Greet one another as you leave.